This is our celebration completion. We did it, yay team, number 12 call of this powerful journey of spiritual power for success momentum course. So let's dive right in to reading the purpose statement, and then we'll go into activating the transmissions of grace, and then we will celebrate. So who wants to read it first?
The purpose of this course is to bring your spiritual power into your next expansion ring of manifested success projects, both personally and professionally, to continue to strengthen your sense of sovereignty in you creating the life that you want, to build and experience palpable momentum in creating the life that you long to live, both personally and professionally.
Thank you. Miss Mary Girl?
Purpose of this course, bring your spiritual power into your next expansion ring.
What's the matter?
I'm a fraud.
What?
I'm a fraud.
Okay, finish reading the purpose statement. Go ahead, honey. Start it from the beginning.
Purpose of this course. Bring your spiritual power into your next expansion ring of manifested success projects, personally and professionally, to continue to strengthen your sense of sovereignty in creating the life that you want, to build and experience palpable momentum in creating a life that you long to live, personally and professionally.
Okay, so let's have you both close your eyes. We're not going to have you activate the transmissions of grace. I'm going to project and call in the powers of light to work on both of you. Okay, are you ready for that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to activate Mary first, and Mary, just let me know when you feel them. And then Barb, I'll activate them for you, and then just let me know when you feel them, and then we'll go into what's going on here. Just one second. Okay, Mary, I'm beginning to broadcast to you. Just let me know when you feel them. Okay. All right, great. Thank you. Barb, I'm going to tell you when I'll start to broadcast the powers of light to you. Just give me one moment. What are you noticing, Barb?
a vibration at my feet. It's not a tingling, it's a vibration. And then it is generating a tingling up my body.
Okay, good. Okay, so both of you have those energies in your field now. Mary, how did you experience, or how are you experiencing the powers of light? They'll stay with us throughout this program today.
A great sense of calm and support.
Okay, beautiful. All right, now I'd like you to both call upon the transmissions of grace. So you have both teams working with you and present. And go ahead and activate them as you know how to do, and let me know when you notice them. Now, if you can't really tell the difference between one or the other, that's to be expected possibly. However, when you know intuitively that they have come in, somehow you will know. I just know that. And so let me know when you have that experience by just saying ready.
Ready.
Okay, thank you. Ready. Okay. All right, so let me see where I want to go first based on what's going on with Mary here. I'm going to be teaching you all a new transmuting blocks technique today. And so what I'll do is hear what's bothering you, Mary, and check in with Barb and so on. And then whatever you're experiencing, Mary, will be perfect fodder to use in this exercise, okay?
Okay.
And just as an FYI, in case you hadn't seen it for both of you now, I did upload a new handout for you. I've emailed it to you. It's also in the Facebook group. And if you can't have access for either of those for whatever reason, that's no problem. The contents of the handout is already Facebook posts from past sessions, so there's no problem if you don't actually have the handout. But in the Facebook group, do you see that there was a new handout uploaded? It says class number 12. Do you both see that?
Yes.
Okay. And what about you, Mary?
Yes.
Okay, good. So can either of you open that up or preview it so that you can look at it when we get to it?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, so Mary, why are you a fraud?
I didn't reach my goal.
Okay, so why does that mean you're a fraud?
I don't follow through and get results.
So is it that you don't follow through, or you do follow through and your follow through doesn't get the results that you want?
Okay. I don't get the results I want despite all of the efforts that I make.
Right, right. Right. So tell me what fraud means to you.
There's a lot of hot air and no substance.
And what is hot? I'm sorry, go ahead.
The talk doesn't lead to results.
Right, right. So a fraud to you is somebody who does what?
There's a performance and not anything of substance.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
There's a performance with no substance.
What is no substance mean? No results?
No results, right. There's a lot of bravado, whatever.
Bravado. Bragging, who does the bragging?
I can help you. I can do this. I've got skills.
Mm-hmm. And yet it doesn't translate into conversion. Is that what you're saying?
Isn't that? Yes.
Okay. Barb, what does fraud mean to you?
A fake and I can identify with what Mary says. Maybe I would add the person is intentionally being fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a con person.
Yeah.
So, Mary, are you a fraud or are you unskilled at sales conversations?
I am unskilled at sales conversations.
Right. So is she a fraud, Barb, because she's unskilled at sales conversations?
No, not at all. And
right.
She really put forth 110% effort. So she was out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your heart hurts, Mary, because of what you so clearly stated. You give it your all, and you're not getting the results of the closes. So we'll talk further about that. However, let's name it for what it is so that you know how to work on it. If you were a fraud, then you wouldn't be getting speaking appointments and you wouldn't have any sales, or people would be complaining about you making promises that you don't deliver. But you don't get enough of those opportunities where people even know what you deliver, right?
That's right.
And so with some of the coaches, where I won't mention names in this call, that you've been involved with, would you say they were frauds because they made all these promises and took all this money but didn't deliver what they say they were going to deliver?
Oh, definitely.
So are you like them?
No.
Okay, so are you a fraud?
I am not a fraud.
What are you?
I am unskilled at sales.
Right. And do you know, I appreciate your pain. I have been there many times. And it is definitely something that requires practice. And I know that you've been practicing, and I know that you took the various classes with me, and you are not alone. That's why I wanted you and Barb to practice. Did you guys ever end up practicing with each other?
No, I'm afraid not. And I think
so. Yeah. Part of it's go ahead.
Part of it's the time zone thing, but.
No. If you guys had a strong enough intention, you'd make it happen. So the only reason I mention that is not to bop you both over the head virtually, you know, but to say to you that it is truly a practice situation. And I'm going to reiterate that it would be good for you to still practice with Barb, even though this course is over, so that the two of you can really help each other when the energy drops or when it's not coming out, where you're pulling them forward as to what it is they say they really want, and then handling the objections. The objections are really tough. That's why there are so many coaches that are teaching client enrollment classes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And that's also why various coaches, maybe even I've said this, will tell you that you've got to get yourself in front of tons of people so that you're able to close enough sales to meet your monthly goals, which is one of the things that we're going to, is one step of that process that we're going to cover later on today, and that you may have noticed was one of the Facebook posts that I put up there. I think it was class number 9 or something, on sales conversions. There's a formula for that. So if you're going to be in business, the two things that are critically important where it comes to sales is clearly knowing your true fit value for that person, that you stand in that place like you've got crazy glue on the soles of your feet, and it is sticking you to the earth, to a wooded floor, to a rug. There has to be that level of digging your heels in. The other part is to really be committed to showing that person that you are the guide that gets them to where they say they want to go. You see what I mean?
Yes.
And that there be some level of commitment in that conversation as much as possible, even if it's a verbal commitment, which I know the two of you have had. But for instance, for somebody, and I've repeated myself about this, if somebody says they have to talk to their department head or they need to talk to their spouse, as far as you're able to go in that conversation is, what exactly will you say to them? What are the highlights that you're going to point out to them that is why you want to move forward? Because you have to enroll that person strongly before they can be released, so to speak, on their own reconnaissance, or whatever that expression is, to then go and talk to their spouse or their, you know, their corporation decision makers. And unless you get a strong feeling that that person is going to speak about the opportunity to that next person, then you most likely will lose the sale. And if they say to you that it's not enough, that it's too much money or something like that, then it really is a matter of practicing those objections, which includes you saying that, you know, I apologize. It seems to me that I may not have clearly enough explained to you how this is going to meet the needs that you have told me for the past 30 minutes or so that you are really longing for at this time. Tell me what's missing, or tell me what is it that is holding you back. And then you go into a money objection of, is it that you don't have money at all, or is it the money is not available for this? We've discussed that. Right, Mary?
Yes, we have.
Okay. But I mean, do you see the flow of how digging your heels in?
Yes.
And saying that you clearly see that what you're offering is a fit for them, and you're going to ferociously hold on to the certainty that this is an opportunity that they really are wanting, so let's get down to what's really holding you back. That's the attitude to have. And if you're coming from a heartfelt place where you're focusing on them, there's less of a need for you to say, well, I've done this, and or whatever you mean by bragging. There is no such thing as bragging. I understand why you chose that word, and I'm reacting to that the way I react to Barb when she says that, you know, she's concerned about selling being sleazy and so on. But you're not bragging in the sense of a conceited, empty can that's making a lot of noise. That's not what you're doing. What you're doing is helping them see that your path and your skills have been worked in the way that they will get the benefits from. That you have the expertise from experience, from time, from study, and that you've gotten such and such results. Now, that's not you bragging. That's you telling them, you know, you're making a soup. A soup needs to be stirred. You need a spoon. Here's a spoon. Do you want a spoon? You need a spoon. Here's a spoon. You see what I mean?
Yes.
If you don't let them know that you have the tool, that you have, through life experience, realized is the right tool. A spoon is the right tool, at least one of the right tools, to stir a soup that's on the stove. Unless you are able to let them know why and how you know that a spoon is the way to go as opposed to a fork, as opposed to a knife. Yeah, you can use a knife. It's just going to take a little longer. Yeah, you can use a fork, but it's going to take a little longer. But if you take a spoon, that's going to be the better way to effectively stir a soup. Is this making any sense to you, Mary?
Oh, yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah. So tell us what your perception is of where you lost power. And Barb, I'd like you to be listening for what you might have done in the situation that Mary is going to describe, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mary. So the first question that I'm going to ask you is, what was the offer or the opportunity
that led this person to want to spend time with you?
We had, so I, it's not one, okay. I did have three conversations with three people who wanted more information about the pilot program, like pilot training. And
okay, now,
I
let
met
me,
them at networking.
Okay, excuse me. I just want to stop you there. So they wanted to know more information about pilots, and you met them at the networking. Did you meet them all at the same networking event?
No.
Okay.
Two different ones.
Okay. Now, when they expressed an interest in the pilot programs, inside your head, what did you start to think that would help you know why they were interested in wanting that information?
They had a writing project in mind, and that more information would flesh out being able to make a decision.
A decision about the pilot program is the group program you're talking about, right?
Right, by doing, yeah, the training.
Okay. So all three of them had a project that they wanted to get started on, or that were all the, or that was already in place.
Two of them did. One of them was like, she said, "I don't think I'm ready." And I said, "This is the project. This is the training for you, because it will help you identify what it is that you want to be writing."
Okay. And with that, go ahead.
And that, and she paused and took that in and said, "Well, you're right. I don't want to keep waiting to be ready."
Okay. Now, the other two, so all you heard from those other two was that they already had something in place, correct? That they wanted to get, okay. And from your recollection, was there any level of urgency that you could pick up on?
No. They were all like, "Well, yeah, I've been putting this off, and yeah, this could be a good time to do it." So the one gal wanted more information after I had, you know, given her permission not to wait anymore. And the other one was just like, "Well, yeah, I'll take a look at that, because I need to get blogging." And
mm-hmm.
The third one was just like, "Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Let me see your stuff." So there wasn't urgency about any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I called back to make sure that they got the stuff, got the email, and if they had any questions, all I got was voicemail. And the one gal that I was sure that once I talked to her that she would be the perfect fit. And I got two voicemails, and I thought, oh, great. But then this morning she called me. I saw her number, but she didn't leave a message.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called back as soon as I could, and I said, "I'm so happy to hear, happy to see that you had called, and I've been thinking about you, and I'm anxious to talk," and nothing.
And what?
And nothing all day.
What? Oh, you left her that voicemail message.
I left it. She called at 9. I called at 9:15, and I called again at 1:15. I've heard
right.
Nothing from her.
Right. Okay. All right, I'm going to be quiet just a minute. What is it that you sent them in an email?
I sent them a paragraph of going over what we had talked about, how that they had expressed an interest in moving forward with this project, and I said this is that's why we met at this time so that I could be the mentor, the support for you in completing this project, and gave them a link to the sales page.
Okay. I think that the breakdown was sending them information about the sales page was premature, that the sales page is not going to close a sale like that, especially at the price point that you offered. There needs
well, this
to
is
the
pilot. The pilot got knocked down to 60 days, and it's $397.
Okay, so this isn't $997?
This isn't $997. No, I had a conversation
okay.
with the project, and it got molded into a 60-day training for $397.
Yeah, now that sounds really good, by the way. So congratulations on consulting with your intuition about that, by the way. Yes, absolutely. That feels really good and appropriate for you and that kind of a program. So it seems that there was not enough connecting with them for you to walk them through the experience of what their ideal vision is of the getting beyond the, yeah, I really should get going on this, getting it from there to, look, what's it going to take and what will your life be like once you have finally given yourself this experience that you want, this accomplishment that you want, where you go through the enrollment conversation of asking them questions about their ideal vision, and then moving into what is standing in their way and what's it costing them in terms of their self-image, in terms of their inability to trust themselves to do what they know they should do for themselves, you know, going into that pain to it's not as logical as what you did, meaning sales is not a logical process where they say, yes, yeah, send me the information. You send them the information, and then there's a connection, there's a relationship about it. It doesn't really happen like that in sales. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
There has to be more interaction, even though some of these women or some of these people know you from having seen you before, right?
Yes, yes.
Have they seen you more than once? Like, is this like a recurring networking relationship?
No, these were all new relationships.
Okay. So it's not enough to catch them in their resistance if you simply send them the information like that. It has to have more of a relationship building of know, like, and trust. And giving them sort of a verbal bio of what your past has been is typically not enough unless you're a really big name and you have a big following. You typically need to have them connect with you so that they see how you handle them. They experience how you are responding to their fears, to their questions, and to their dreams. You see what I mean?
Yes.
A sale is not going to work when it's just read this page and then get back to me. If there is not a relationship discovery, deeper dive, emotions are touched level of interaction. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So let me just tune in just one second. Well, the words that I'm hearing are that if you wanted to get back, how many times did you contact each person?
Three.
And what was the time frame between each contact point?
Initially, it was a couple of days, and then they asked for the more information, and I sent it, and so the next day I called. And
okay, so that, go ahead.
Left voicemail and followed up with another voicemail.
Okay, and what did you say in the last voicemail?
I said, I just wanted to double check that you got the information. I was so happy to talk with you about your writing projects, and I'm looking forward to supporting you. You mentioned the specific thing that they wanted to be working on, whether it was mom blogs or the women in transition self-care, and left my number.
Okay. All right, so I would not call them or email them back at this time. I think that the breakdown was there wasn't enough connection with them where they were confronted with how they weren't committed to this desire of theirs. You already heard it in their speaking, right? Because they all said
right.
to you, if I heard, yeah, because they all said to you, yeah, I guess I should. But but there wasn't, you know, damn it, I got to stop putting this off. There wasn't that, you know?
Right.
Now, tell me, what had you choose to simply send them a paragraph and a link to the sales page instead of setting up a discovery client enrollment conversation with them?
I felt that we had gone over a lot of that stuff in the call that we already had.
What call did you already have?
Well, I met them at the event, and we had a call to see how we could, you know, find out more about each other. And that's when they asked for more information about the program, about the training.
Okay, and did you go through the sales conversation template with them in those calls?
Probably not enough of, no, I didn't go through enough of the sales template.
Yeah, where it sounds like what happened in that call that you had was very mentally, it was at more of a mental level. It was more casual without any commitment to a conversation. There was a mixed purpose to that conversation. That conversation had the purpose of getting to know you. It was not the purpose of enrolling them. Those are two very separate purposes, because one is going to reveal less of the person's challenges and what's really confronting them that's keeping them from moving forward. The other one, it's permission to go into that sort of self-exposure and you being the guide. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So what you've learned from this, or actually before I say that, Barb, honey, why don't you share your observations of this conversation so far?
Mary certainly was sincere. And believed she had done the process. And that's what has led to the surprise. And I think it's possible that especially the one she was back and forth with today, or, you know, that might still come through. I mean, because that was just today. And so, what, give that a little space?
What was that, Barb?
Give that person from today's back and forth that didn't connect a little space.
Okay, well, we'll see. So what was I going to say there? The lesson that you learned is actually a continuation from what I said about the interview process. The interview process is when a person that you're reaching out to interview them tells you that they're willing to talk to you, their understanding is that they're helping you do a field research thing. And then I said, and I know that this isn't what you did, I'm making a separate point. And then if you truly feel the inspiration to let them know that you have something that is meeting these needs, then you separate and you tell them that you're completing one purpose, and if it's okay with them, I would like to move in a second purpose. I mean, this is a summary. Are you following what
right.
I'm saying, or do I? Or,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I'm
making sense. Okay, because if you blend them together, it
right.
would cause a problem. And this is the same thing. This is the same thing. Do you see that it's the same thing?
Yes.
Tell me how it's the same thing from your perspective.
Well, it's distinguishing, and it goes into what I've been working on as far as it's a broader spectrum, but talking about boundaries and the distinction between the discovery call, I want to know what you do, and I'll tell you what I do, and the enrollment conversation, which is I have something that would benefit your business, and that's my business. And the interview process is doing field research to collect information as how the needs that you have and the struggles that you have, I have a service, a product, a program that will, and that is the answer to your struggle, your problem.
Right, exactly. You got it. Thank you very much. So what happened with you was that your purpose to sell was never really formed. It was more of a, hang on, let me get the words. No, it wasn't presented in the best focus on them manner.
Uh-huh.
It was more like, you know, I'm reading this really good book and I think you might like it. I'll send you the name of the title. Yeah, you know, that's a topic that I really should get to know more about. Okay, great. I'll just send you the title in an email. It was at that level. Right?
Right. Yes. That's the temperature. Yes.
Yeah. And it seems like you've had a few instances where you have not gone deep enough into their pain, their reasons, because they say words that would lead you and anybody else to think
that they really want something. But it's not emotionally raw enough. It's not emotionally associated enough. You with me?
Yes.
And by associated, I mean that it's not putting in their lap the emotional consequence of not having the dream they say they want. They have to feel that. You didn't give yourself a chance to take a stand for them. You didn't give yourself the you didn't give yourself the stage, the forum, the setting, the environment to take a stand for them, to be able to catch them in this resistance trap that they have come back to.
Yes.
And it's the same, it's the same mechanism in you that got triggered when you did have a client enrollment conversation with someone, but you didn't have your template with you. You didn't have your cheat sheet with you. Do you remember that?
That's right, yes.
And what was the reason, again, why you went into the sales conversation without your roadmap, your cheat sheet?
They had given me the impression that they already knew what I did, and she had said, I'm working on something and I really need to talk to you. I need you.
Yeah. 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 So I think that the lesson here, what do you feel the lesson is, Mary? Barb, I'm going to ask you to share with Mary what you think some lessons might be, and then I'll tell you what I see is the lesson here.
Okay, so who's me first?
Yes.
Okay, so the lesson here is that I didn't distinguish between if it was a discovery call or an enrollment conversation. I didn't go deep enough, regardless of what conversation it was, to really have them see the pain of them not reconciling this challenge, dilemma that they had, and getting them to the emotional level that they're not committing to having this dream that they want. And I didn't take a stand for them, which I wrote in big letters.
Mm-hmm.
And me not having my cheat sheet in front of me when I sit down to do these calls and having a focused vision for what I'm going to want to accomplish with this call.
Yeah. I think that that's correct. Any other lessons that you've learned from this?
I need to make more calls. I need to do it and not back down when I hear what they want and have them recognize that this is something that they've been longing for, and that's why we are put together.
Yeah. Good. 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 Okay, great. What about you, Barb? In addition to what Mary has accurately gleaned from this experience, what do you see, if anything else?
That was pretty comprehensive. Because Mary is very intuitive, I can understand how she felt that things were going along in a certain way. And I guess both of us have to avoid assuming we know what's going on.
Bingo. Keep going. You're doing great. Say more about that.
So that involves more questions and more listening. And it's tough to keep sort of asking those questions and sort of probing, like picking at a scab.
Wait, whoa, you lost me. What's difficult to do, and watch your images, because I'm being very strong with you about changing your attitude about sales.
Yep.
And picking scabs does not fit into my idea of where you and I are headed.
Right. Okay. It's difficult to be listening and determining what the correct next question would be.
Because? Why do you feel that way?
Well, I'm not used to asking a lot of questions. I often take what the person says for what they mean at what they've said.
Okay, so what do you feel is another lesson for Mary on this, that she hasn't already covered in her very comprehensive analysis of the situation?
What's coming to me is that we don't need to fill a silence.
You don't need to what? What was that word?
Don't need to feel uncomfortable when there's a silence, and don't feel that we need to jump in with something to
What did Mary say that had you, I may have missed it, what did Mary say that has you feel that she did that?
Well, I don't know that from what she said. I guess I'm projecting what I do.
I'm asking you. We'll definitely come to you when what the question that you're answering, and I'm sorry if I wasn't clear for some reason, is from what you've heard, what other lessons might Mary have learned from this?
Take more time to build the relationship, the know, like, and trust.
Yeah. Good. So my anything else, Barb, or are you finished there? I don't want to cut you off.
I think I'm finished.
Okay. So Mary, one of the lessons for you is that you want to go for maximum control in your business. Control of your policies and procedures. Control of staging a properly guided enrollment conversation. Control of pricing. Control of everything that has to do with you discriminating how you're going to use your time, with whom you're going to use your time, and that how you're going to use your time and with whom you're going to use your time is for one reason and one reason only. Is this going to support my business in making money and serving people? But the serving people is tricky because Barb is struggling with this. Serving people is not just giving yourself away. It has to be serving people enough so that it is nurturing your ultimate objective, which is nurturing your business bottom line, right?
Yes.
Mary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I feel with you, Mary, and I think we've touched on this before, and I totally, totally, totally understand. And that is that there's so much excitement when there's this possibility that looks like it's right in the palm of your hand. All you need to do is close your sweet little fingers around it and take it. That we miss the nuances of the nature of what we're dealing with. And what we're dealing with is a mercurial ball that's sitting in our hand that can squirt out at any time if we do not manage it, contain it, and hold it in the most effective way possible. You get excited at what seems to be a likely sale in this case and in other cases. And in that excitement, you have lost track of the skill, the territory of the sales situation. Because it just seems like this is so obvious. Of course they're going to do this. And you have seen repeatedly that simply is not the case, right? Right. Now, I've had my lesson, my learning curve has been around having them feel so sane and so good about what being with me is like that they lose track of the pain of what their life is going to be like after I leave the call. And my learning curve is that I spend way too much time with them. So I have my own area that I need to tighten, and I am working on it, as you can imagine, to tighten up. It's really a matter of watching and practicing and getting yourself to the place where you're going to stand and say, you know what, this just makes no sense to me. I have to be honest with you. You know, people pay me to get my truth, to get my expert assessment. So I'm giving that to you now because you obviously care about what I have to say or else we wouldn't be in this conversation. And I have to ask you, do you really want to do this project? And if you don't do it with me, what are you going to do? Do you have somebody else lined up? I mean, you know, you just keep talking to them from the standpoint of, you said you wanted to buy this cruise ship thing. The cruise is leaving in a week. You told me all the reasons why you needed this vacation, and you're not going. So you see my point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Mary, let's have you re-script this experience with, we're going to take time with all three of these scenarios. Re-scripting, as you may remember, ladies, is when you, it's a hypnotherapy term, and neuro-linguistic programming uses it as well, where you go back over a situation that did happen, and you replay it with full sensory detail the way it could have gone better, where there was more of the outcome that you would have preferred. And from a therapeutic standpoint, the reason that this technique is used is to give the subconscious mind a separate track of possibility, of programming, so that the next time a situation that might fit into that ballpark occurs, you've already started to build a new pattern so that you don't default to the unresourceful, the ineffective, the hurtful pattern. Are you both following me?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it's called re-scripting because what you're doing is you are rewriting the script of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the impact, the purpose, the benefit of rewriting a script is that it reprograms the subconscious mind to have more options when the similar situation presents itself. That's why I'm asking you to do this. Okay, Mary?
Okay.
So now, to use Barb's assessment that you're very intuitive, which one should we work on first?
The gal who didn't think she was ready.
Okay. So walk us through, and don't give elaborate languaging or conversation. Just give us bottom line highlights of what you're going to say to her and how you're going to activate this experience for us, for you, so that it would go more in a better direction. So where do you want us to track you from? At what point?
Okay, so I met her at the 3-day in L.A. I had minimum contact with her, and we exchanged cards when she said, oh, you're the writer. I have an idea for something, and I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
So when I got home, I sent her an email, and I called and said, let's set something up to have a conversation about your writing journey.
Yeah.
And we talked, and she asked, she said she wasn't working on anything specific, but she wanted information about the new training that I was working on. because she said, I'm not ready for it, but my daughter might be, because she's published things.
Mm.
And I said,
okay, hang on one second. Excuse me for interrupting. Now, why was she at this LA event? What were her reasons, as far as you could tell? What was the purpose of that event that would have this woman attend?
At one point, they were asking for comments from the audience, and she stood up and she said, I'm here because my friend Amanda brought me. I'm in between jobs, and I'm trying to figure out what I want to do next. And Amanda is an editor and a publisher. She has a monthly newspaper for seniors in the LA area. And so the event was called Design Your Destiny, and so she was thinking that she would be going to be down there figuring out what she was going to do next.
Okay. All right, so go from there. Now, before you do, how do you feel that your work would help her figure out what she wants to do next?
My work would help her figure out what she wants to do next, because in pinpointing the story that transformed her into a trajectory of going after her dreams could be something that she unearths working with me.
What would you do with her? What would you do with her that would help her to uncover enough of what she wants to do next? What would you do with her?
Well, we go through writing exercises to get her dreaming about, you know, what did I want to do when I was 10 years old? And what have I been doing up until now that reflected my dreams when I was that old? And what do I want my legacy to be?
Okay, I got it. Good. So what I'm doing is I'm helping you to develop a routine of how you prepare yourself inside yourself to have the confidence and the certainty that what you offer could be most likely a great fit for their need. That's what I'm doing with these questions. Do you see that?
Yes.
I'm asking you to tell us, well, let's do a little analysis of this person. What was her motivation to make that trip? That tells you something about somebody. Okay, great. She shared something. She told you that she's in between. She doesn't know what she wants. So now that opens up the ability to find out how willing and how committed is she to really get some answers. Going to a conference is still kicking the tires. Talking to a professional that actually does that kind of facilitation is a whole other ballgame, right?
Right.
Okay, so now walk us through what you would do differently now that I have this background.
Now that we had the brief conversation of get to know each other, and she wanted more information about the program, I would either shift gears and say, you know, go deeper to make it an enrollment conversation, or...
When would you do that?
And how would you
initiate that?
When she starts asking me for information about the program, I take her back to... How do I take her back to? Okay. Maybe when she, I was rushing when I introduced information about the program. I didn't go deep enough with her before I started talking about how I could support her when she didn't have anything specifically that she was working on. But she did know that she wanted to figure out what she was going to do next. And writing is a tool.
So what would you have done next? We're walking through a rescript of actions and beliefs and strategies of what you would have done differently. That's what we're doing right now. You're doing great.
I would help her get dreaming about, well, hang on.
How would you do that? Would you have pulled her over in the hallway and had this conversation? Would you have said, okay, that's wonderful. You want more information. Here's how we could do that. We would set up a time where I can walk you through my proprietary system. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, so when we were at the event, we didn't have any time to get
right. So what would you have said at the event to take charge of this situation and aim it in the direction that you wanted it to possibly go? What could you have said when she said, I'd like some more information?
Great. I'd love to have a longer conversation with you and go in depth about my signature system that walks you through finding your story and how your story impacts your ideal clients.
Okay, so in her case, she doesn't have an ideal client.
No.
She doesn't know shit about stories. You have to talk to her. All you know about her is that she doesn't know what to do next with her life. But she's motivated enough to check it out by going on a plane or wherever to get to this location, right?
Right.
So my point is you have to stick like Velcro on to whatever you can find is what they say is missing for them, what's hurting them, what's nagging at them. So let's go back to that point where she said, I'd like more information. Now, here's what I'm going to suggest for the sake of time.
Yeah.
We all have to keep digging to find out at all times how motivated a person is to move forward with us. And that starts even with finding out how motivated are they that when you do talk to them, it's not just going to be a haphazard, oh, I was just checking you out kind of conversation. There's even qualifying to have the opportunity to talk to you. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
So what I would have suggested that you had done when she said that she wanted more information, for you to have said, that's wonderful. When people ask that of me, there is a very specific process that I take people through in a phone conversation that would help you see some options that we could go together. Would you be interested in having a conversation like that? There's no cost. It'll take about, 45 minutes to an hour. Is that what you're looking for? And if they say, oh, well, is there any obligation? Is it a sales call?
then you can determine what you're really dealing with here. Then you have to find out how much they really want to change out of this limbo, in her case, out of this limbo that they're in. So if she were to come back and say, well, it depends, is this a sales call? Is this something that is going to be trying to sell me something? Your answer could be, that's completely up to you. It depends on how much you want certain changes in your life and if we feel that we're a fit for each other. Do you see what I'm doing here?
Yes, yes.
What you're doing is you do not give them, is this a blue scarf? Yes, it's a blue scarf. The dance with people when you're feeling out how motivated are they is this a blue scarf? Well, it depends on how much you want a scarf, and it depends upon if you like the color blue. I mean, it's that kind of checking to see who is this person I'm talking with.
Yes.
Up until now, because of just normal logical communication, somebody says, is this a blue scarf? You say yes or no, but that's not the world of sales. Sales is a multidimensional experience because emotions and readiness are key criteria. It's like when I did this recent summit call, it was one of the most powerful interviews I've had, and, you know, I worked with people on the phone, and, you know, we know I'm very intuitive, so everything I said was accurate. And then I got a bunch of emails from whoever these people were asking for a complimentary conversation with me. They didn't go to the link that the hostess had given where they could sign up for my free stuff. They didn't go and purchase the special offer. I just got these. I want a free access to you. Well, no. So I emailed them back and I thanked them and I said that there's a two-step process, fill out this application, and if you know for certain that you do want a session with me, here is the special offer page, and please feel free to move forward on that. Now, I didn't hear back from any of them. So, who needs it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I subscribe them to my newsletter, and one person actually unsubscribed. So, geez, it's a good thing I didn't spend any time with her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, your job and where your skill needs to get more precise and your path really clear is I have to find out why they want to talk to me, how much do they want a change, and ask them if they want to have a conversation with me that will tell them openly that there will be an opportunity if we feel that there's a fit to give you what you want. You know, something along those lines. So there's nothing covert, like this for Barbara's concern of, you know, trapping them, being sleazy, all this kind of stuff. There's none of that. It's straightforward. You want to talk to me? Great. Why do you want to talk to me? How important to you is it that you make the changes you want to make, which is why you're talking to me? Great. Sounds like you are, you know, really wanting to do some things here. So in our conversation, this is a proprietary structure that I'll walk you through in this complimentary session to determine whether or not we're a fit and to see if there are any next steps that are appropriate for us. Now, that's clean and clear. Do you want to set up that time or not? You see, you have to be that clear in your communication that talking to you means I've got something most likely to present to you and you need to be ready for that.
You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So, I think that that's enough that would also carry over for the other two scenarios, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now, Barb, why should Mary be celebrating this and that she absolutely did win at this 12th session?
She reached out, she followed up, she made calls, she practiced the conversations. I mean, she and has learned what didn't work and how to re-script that into what will work. And so that's something that she didn't know 12 classes ago. And so that is a win, a growth, a success from this class.
Absolutely. 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 So, do you receive that, Mary?
Yes, I receive that. Thank you, Barb.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I've been feeling that, too. I have grown tremendously these past 12 sessions.
Yeah. See, knowing what goes into being in business is definitely getting yourself thrown into the deep end of the pool, and you have to, the only thing you can do is swim. And the swimming will get more skilled as to do a breaststroke, as to how to sync your breathing with the kicking of your feet and all this type of stuff. You don't know that until you're in the water doing it. And you went in the water and you did it. Now, the other thing is that, you know, you're learning about people and how they are not what they say they are, that they say what they want to say to get whatever they want to have happen in that moment, like the leader of that program. Whatever happened to she wants to get to know you better so she can refer people to you, come on down to my program, chalk up your $97. Whatever happened to when you followed up with her on getting to know you better? What did you do, by the way? Was it an email or a voicemail?
It was a voicemail, and it was, I'd never had a one-on-one. It was always in a group setting, and it was, I'm so glad that you're here, and that's about it.
So in the voicemail, what did you say to her?
I said I was looking forward to coming down, and I wanted to have an opportunity to spend a few minutes with her to, so that we got to know each other a little deeper.
Right. So the only thing that's missing with that kind of message is, again, there's no purpose that is clearly enough defined. The purpose was, she led you to believe that she had a ton of referrals that she would have ready to give you once she got to know you better, correct?
Yes.
And so that needed to be part of that conversation that you left on her voicemail. Otherwise, it's just this really nice, yep, this is going to be a great trip, nice to see you. But there's no intention behind it. Now, of course, you could not know this. I mean, this is stuff you're learning. Now, if I were in that situation, I would have left a message stating that my understanding is that you have
some potential referrals for me because of my skill set. And when we get to, I'd like to know how you propose to schedule some time so that you feel confident referring people to me. Would you like me to bring some sort of a portfolio with me? I mean, you know, just make stuff up like that, because what you're doing is you're having them be accountable for what they say or implying that they are saying. You see what I mean?
Yes.
It's what Barb said, there is no such thing as assuming. You cannot assume stuff.
Oh, I wrote that down in bold. Do not assume.
Right.
And I am absolutely guilty of that. So
Yeah. I know. It's very easy to fall into that category. Okay. Well, I spent this much time because it was sales, and I know that this is something that Barb, of course, is also exploring on deepening your skills. So, Mary, here is the real question that I want you to come and state from the bottom of your truth. Do you feel that you won, that your completion project did have reason to celebrate?
I have reason to celebrate with my completion project because I have moved so far forward from where I was 12 sessions ago. Yes, I celebrate.
Yes, and we celebrate with you.
Thank
Barb,
you.
Barb, you're welcome. Barb, thank you for being patient. So tell us, where are you with your completion project to celebrate?
I am in the same growth pattern that I have developed some skills and learned so much in this process with and from Mary that I can celebrate. It helps that you and I had a one-to-one session the other day where you helped me get into this frame of mind. I revised my evidence of completion.
Yeah.
At least a couple of times. And so in that way, I can empathize with a feeling of failure because I had to keep scaling back in order to feel a success. Rather than blindly pushing on and saying, if I don't make this, if I don't make this evidence of completion that I originally set, I can't say that I have anything to celebrate.
So do you have something to celebrate other than getting some great skills?
Well, I have more money than I made last year.
Okay. So in terms of your evidence of completion of this project, I didn't have a chance to read it. What was the evidence of completion for this class number 12?
That I made the goal of $1,200.
So did you reach that goal?
Yes.
Holy cow! So you made $1,200 from the time we had our first session to today?
Like 12 classes ago?
Yes, 12 classes ago. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, excuse me, what am I missing here? What's the failure? Well, first of all, that's awesome. So what's awesome is that you started out at a certain amount.
Yeah.
And then you became real with what the territory required. And you adjusted so that you could win. Is that what happened? Was that the process you went through?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And you did win. So you made $175 from the time I last spoke to you, which whatever day that was that we had our session, Monday?
No. No, I already had the 12.
Oh, you already had the 12.
Yeah.
So you did not make the additional 175 from Monday till now. Is that
correct?
Right? Okay.
Correct.
And so how did you redesign your project so that the $1,200 was the win?
I changed the evidence of completion to $1,200. And actually,
okay.
it's more like $1,325. You're right, because it was the additional $175 that I was working on.
So the evidence of completion was $13-something, and you earned $1,200-something.
No, I'm sorry. The evidence of completion was $1,325, and that's what I made.
So when I spoke to you on Monday, what was it that you were going for as a goal?
At that point, $1,500.
On Monday?
Yes.
Okay. And so at what point and for what reasons did you change it to the 13-something?
So I could win.
Okay. So you changed the goal to a figure that was going to be a truth. There was going to be no chance of taking it away so that you could win by today. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And so this amount of money you collected from our first session until now, right?
Yes. Yep.
Well, that's phenomenal because you did it. And it wasn't, you know, that's a hefty amount of money for somebody who's new at this kind of stuff, right?
Right. I get, yes, yes, yes.
So, Mary, why should she feel ecstatic and celebratory about this?
And she has tangible evidence of completion. It's not a feeling of, oh, I've grown and learned. You have money in the bank, and that was your goal.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, ladies. So I think that you all won.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I know that it wasn't, of course I know, that it wasn't what you wanted. However, here's the thing. When we are going for a goal, especially when it's a big stretcher, like what you have both wanted, everything that we need to look at, to heal, to analyze so that we're not traveling to a different country without a roadmap, all of those things will come up because they need to be in place in order to reach that goal. And you did that. You each did that. Does what I'm saying strike any chord of self-appreciation, or is this just kind of like dry fact to you?
No, it's not dry. Yes, I have shifted night and day from when I started the call.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What about you, Barb? Is what I'm saying something that is, and, you know, don't give me an answer you think I want. You know, be honest. Do you feel that the process of all that you've moved through is worth celebration and self-appreciation, or is it sort of just like dry facts, like, oh, yeah, great, no big deal?
Well, it's definitely a shift in my thinking as well, because formerly I would have stuck to the idea of if you don't make the 10,000, then you failed. And so this is a shift in my thinking. Or
yeah.
that if I have to reduce my goal, then I have failed, because I've made the goal match what I'm able to do rather than stretching to what I would like to do.
And the truth of the matter is that you did stretch tremendously.
Yes. Yep.
And that's the issue. Yes, we wanted the dollar amount. However, the fact is that you kept at it and you loved yourself enough, which is a big, important piece of being successful, is self-love and self-appreciation and claiming the experience of fulfillment, even when it's not in the form that we want. You with me?
Yes. Yep.
And you did that. Both of you did that. Do you see that?
Yes.
Right. And that's what you really need to use here, because what is the name of this program? Spiritual Power for Success Momentum, right?
Right.
Yes.
So what spiritual power did you both use? Or powers, however you want to answer that question, did you use throughout this course?
Intuition, mind, mindset,
mm-hmm.
energy management. And
mm-hmm.
reframing.
Right. Yes. And then how about for you, Barb, what's your answer to that? If you look at the title of this course and you look at where you are now at class number 12, what of that title have you, in fact, utilized?
I've identified momentum, I've expanded my manifestation from the purpose, the three-part purpose of the course.
Mm-hmm.
The mindfulness bell.
Mm-hmm.
The new grounding techniques, the prayers, listening to the transmissions of grace.
Right, right, good. Now, what's the momentum that you both know that you accomplished in this course from the first session till now? Let's hear some evidences of momentum. You've been giving it to us all along, but let's just recap.
the out, reaching out, identifying and grabbing opportunities.
And how is that how is that momentum for you?
Well, I didn't have it before.
Okay, good. Sounds good to me. Go ahead.
I participated in a summit and got some opt-ins.
Yep.
Did a guest blogging week.
Did you get any opt-ins from that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes, so you've definitely got evidence of expansion, which definitely is a form of momentum. Good. What about you, Mary?
I believe I have gotten stronger in listening to my intuition. Definitely I'm stronger in establishing and speaking up for the boundaries that I have set and speaking up for how I want to be treated as another professional and not somebody who is just so hungry to be accepted that I'm willing to bend to whatever will is being presented to me.
Mm-hmm.
And just recognizing that I have something of value. Not more than recognizing, it's that it's my foundation that I have something of value and I have a place I belong.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Great.
I have to agree to that sentence that I've learned that I have something of value to offer to the right person.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so I know we kind of feel a little somber over here, but let me tell you, the somber feeling that you feel is the world of entrepreneurialism. This is what you're feeling, is what you hear people on summits and in their promotional videos when they're doing promotional campaigns for a program and they talk about feeling overwhelmed, feeling like giving up, feeling like nothing works, right? You've heard that from people when they've done their promotional stuff with their videos and talking on summits about what their story is, right?
Yes.
Right, Mary?
Right.
Well, this is what they're talking about, right?
Right.
And you're working through it just like they do. So this is normal. This is territory of the entrepreneur versus the employee. Okay? You guys see that?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to quickly go through this handout because these are skills that will help you move to the next level of integration and gelling. So I'm going to just walk you through this transmuting blocks exercise. You don't have to read the handout because it's pretty self-explanatory. So let's have you close your eyes and I'd like you to get in touch with a feeling that you wish you didn't have, that you wish was healed, that you wish was not living in your life at this time. Do Buzz, just tell me when you have that emotion. Just
ready
say ready.
Got it.
Okay. Okay. Now what I'd like you to do is just feel it and say to yourself, I surrender. I accept that I am feeling, fill in the blank. I am feeling it in this part of my body. I hate it, or I don't want it, or when is this going to be over with? I can't seem to get away from this. Whatever is going on inside of you. So just sit with that emotion and let yourself experience the internal dialogue and any physical sensations, locations in your body, temperatures, anything that come with that emotion. And I'm going to be quiet. And repeat to yourself, I surrender to, and fill it in blank. I surrender. I give in. This is it. This is my truth. I surrender. Really feel it. Listen, feel, see. I surrender. And now tell yourself, I am willing to receive the lessons that I am to learn from feeling this way. I am willing to learn everything associated with this feeling. I am willing to receive insights now and immediately as to what I'm to learn from feeling this way. And then say to yourself, I am willing to release this feeling as soon as I'm ready. I am willing to release this feeling of fill in the blank as soon as I'm ready. And then state, I am now choosing to release, and then mention the emotion or the situation that you are wanting out of your space. I choose to release now this feeling of, this situation of. And then you move and you say to yourself within, I am willing to receive. I am willing to receive guidance, solutions for, and then you fill in the blank. Or you could just simply say, I am willing to receive. And then when you're ready, open your eyes and take some notes if you need to and just say ready. Ready. Good.
Ready.
Okay. So, is it okay if we go a little bit over today? If not, then I'll just move to the next exercise, so I'm sure that you get all this.
That's fine.
No, I can see.
Okay, good. So just tell me what that experience was like for you. Let's start with you, Barb.
It was a powerful sequence. Of identifying and focusing on that feeling and then choosing to release it. Not being told, release it, but I am choosing to release it.
Right. Anything else? Did you notice any particular shift? And if so, from what to what?
Well, feeling it is in my gut, you know, sort of a tight, you know, tight stomach. And that has relaxed.
Awesome. So did you feel or receive any kind of guidance that you can tell when you came to the last phase of this, Barb, dear?
That I have grown so that I am able to choose to release this and being reminded have grown.
That was the guidance you received?
Yes.
That's fabulous. And how did you feel about it? Did you get an emotional response when you received that guidance?
Well, that's when I was able to choose to release it. And A feeling of success.
You did have a feeling of success?
Yeah, with being able to choose to release it. And so I had that encouragement, and I was able to use it.
Wonderful, wonderful. How about you, Mary? What was your experience of this? Did you notice a shift? And did you receive any guidance?
Yeah, there was definitely a calmness and not hurried. No, just pick one and take notice of it. And okay, then choose to release it. Feel it in your body, and I could feel a tightness in the pit of my stomach as well. And there was also a visceral taste in my throat. And just let it go. And the knot was gone in my stomach, and it was back to just a normal taste in my mouth. And but it was, at the time, I was just like, oh, this is, you know, bitter and almost like I have to physically release this from my body because I don't want this. And it was such a progression of, well, moving to this, and nothing hurried about it, but it was definitely something that there was something happening, and there were results.
And did you get a particular guidance message?
More just the feeling of all's well.
Great. Great. So that is an exercise that I urge you, and I'll edit this out so that it's a meditation excerpt. That is an exercise that I personally have gotten tremendous value working on myself with. So as soon as you notice your energy tanking, your mood tanking, going in a direction that is unhappy, that is, you know, self-condemning, anything that is self-defeating, I encourage you to find a moment, make a moment, pull yourself out of a meeting if you need to, and go through these steps. You will be amazed at how you're able to transmute the energy. And the reason that I use the word transmute is because this isn't just shifting. This is owning what is living inside of you, giving it its just respect and inclusion, and then merging it, integrating it with the request to receive the lessons learned. So you're not hating it, you're not chopping it off at the knees and throwing it away, you're including it, which means that whatever needs to be healed inside of you is being alchemically integrated into your system, which then allows you to release. And if you can't fully release it, that's fine, just go back and keep working it through. And the key words are, I am willing, as opposed to, I release this now. No, you may not be ready to release it now. I am willing to release this when I am ready. And then hopefully at some point you'll be able to release some of it, and so you would move to the next step, which is, I choose to release this now. Right? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes.
And then you would conclude by, you're willing to receive guidance, solutions, in general, whatever it could be specifically, or it could be just in general that you're ready to receive guidance. And even if you don't notice what it is in the moment, you've opened the door, and so you will receive some guidance when the time is right. So that's that I wanted to make sure you had. Any questions about how to use that or how it works?
No.
No.
Okay. You like that one?
Yes. Yeah, that was great.
Very much.
Yeah. Then if you're following this handout on page 3, I included those marketing statements, but I also added another one. They all pretty much say the same. You know, it's just for you to keep approaching, getting clarity about what it is you do, whom do you do it with, and why, and what they get out of doing this with you. Meaning, if you notice, I've added the word "so that" on the formula number 2 and number 3, which is another way of saying what I had already written in formula number 1, to become, to experience. To experience is the same thing, so that they experience. That's, you know, it's just making it a little tighter for number 1 there. And so I put that in here so you could just keep practicing that, and hopefully the two of you will connect with each other. Excuse me. And practice running your marketing statements by each other, you know? And work with, and keep refining it so that it comes from your soul essence, not from your head. And so what you could do is you could call in the soul essence of a project, soul essence of your business entirely, you know, the soul of your business, or the soul essence of a person that you know that you're going to be talking to, and use that spiritual access to be with you when you practice using whichever of these formulas you gravitate towards in any given scenario, or when you are actually standing there talking to somebody and you've memorized the steps to cover. Call in the soul essence of your business, of your marketing statement. Call in the soul essence of your marketing statement. Call in the soul essence of your ideal client when you're talking to somebody, so that you are opening up the portal to greater guidance for that situation. Do you all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Any questions about that?
No.
Okay. Nope. So now we go to page 4, and this is a formula that is a combination of so many people that I've studied with: Gina Gabellini, Eva Gregory, healers like, I don't remember who the healers were, but the spiritual intuition teachers like Andrea Hess and Alicia Power, and a business coach, Elizabeth Purvis. We've all come to realize that the thing that opens up the manifestation portals is not the thing that we want. I want the car, I want the house, I want the boyfriend, I want the mate, I want the X number of dollars. It's not the thing. It is the essence of the feeling that you will have as a result of getting that thing. So what you're really wanting to manifest is the feeling. And so when you are talking to a potential client to make a presentation to them, number 1 here says, how do you want to feel during this conversation? And you keep gravitating, like you start, you tic-tac, like a boat that's tacking into shore. You keep adjusting your words and your energy to move in the direction of being on course with that emotion. And a simple example is if you're talking to somebody who's aggravating the hell out of you, but you know you don't want to bite off their head, you want to instead lift the conversation up. So you want to feel uplifted. You want to feel in charge. Now that's going to be a whole other energy coming from you, and therefore what you say to that person, versus if you gave in to the irritation and you just wanted to tell them what you really thought about them. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes.
Mary. So number one is, again, what is your purpose in this conversation, and how do you want to feel during the conversation and at the end of the conversation? You could add at the end of the conversation as well. Does number one make sense to you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, number two is, these are all raising your vibration. It's strengthening your mindset of being an expert, of having value, of being the creator of your life. That's really what this little formula activates within you. So question number two is, what's most important for you to bring forth during this conversation? Well, Gina Gabellini likes to say that she likes to bring inspiration and fun. And if anybody has ever heard her talk, she is pure she's pure fun. And she can be inspirational because of that. You want to know, what do you want to bring in this conversation? What do you want to be projecting? Like you were talking about, Mary, that you're bragging. No, what you're bringing forth is proof that you should be taken seriously, that you have credibility, that you have a track record. With you, Barb, you want to bring forth the fact that you know enough copyright law to be able to help them. So you're bringing forth a skill, and both of you can bring forth the value that you're there to help them get what they want. And if you want to bring forth other things, in your case, Mary, you want to bring forth, don't screw around with me, you know? Or in a more positive wording, on the flip side of that coin would be, I am somebody to be respected, and I am someone to be honored. You want to bring that in there as well. As well as, you know, like for you, Barb, you're funny. You can bring in humor, and you can bring in levity and still hold your credibility and your position of an expert. Right?
Right. Right.
Mary?
Right. Right.
So, do any of you have any questions about what you might want to think about or say in a question number two context about what you would like to bring forth in a sales conversation, let's say?
I want them to be inspired by the wisdom of their own story.
Okay, so what would you be bringing forth? Now, that's an intellectual concept.
Yeah.
So what would you be bringing forth in that conversation then?
Someone who says, well, I don't have a story. And I would be...
Okay, let me stop you. Let me stop you. What would you bring forth? Let's get down to the essence.
Okay.
You're giving a scenario, but I'm asking, in that scenario, what would you want to bring forth to them?
Well, now I'm puzzled as to, am I saying something about me? Or asking a question about them?
Something about you. What's most important for you to bring forth during this conversation in terms of skills, values, impact, how you show up? That's what that question means. That was a good question. Thank you. You would want to bring forth encouragement that they have a story that's worth telling.
Okay.
Based on what you just told us.
Uh-huh.
You would also want to bring forth the confidence that you are a guide that they need to do that.
I see.
Great.
I see.
How about you, Barb? Can you see what you would bring forth in that number two?
I want to say something about bring forth the ability to show them that they need to care about this issue. I know that's not the way I want to say it, but...
Right, you're on the right track. So what would you therefore be bringing forth?
Confidence in the value I provide.
That you want to bring forth that you are knowledgeable, that you are researched, that you have done this a million times, you know, more or less. You see what I mean?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You want to bring forth the message that this is not something to gloss over. If you've got visibility and you're using certain phrases, graphics, etc., right?
Right.
Good. So do both of you feel confident about what number two is about?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, good. Good. Then we move on to the next one, which is number three. Where did my paper go? Sorry. I closed it. What is number three? I have to open this up again. Could somebody read it, please?
In order for you to have a heart-based, service-based connection with this person, what do you have to release? Maybe
right,
you want
so
to release. Okay.
Yes. So, Barb, think about the last conversation that you had that was a potential enrollment conversation. And with you standing in the mindset that you are there to help them get what they need, not, I need this sale. Heart-based would be, I'm there for them. And I'm going to take care of myself, but right now I'm here for them. What could you think you might have released so that you could have more of a confident connection with them as someone who's in service to them?
That I have a service of value. That they will benefit from, that their lives will be better, their businesses will be better. That they'll be able to have what they want to have.
So what would you have to release?
The feeling of being salesy.
Right.
The fear of asking the questions that will help them see what it is they really want.
So what would you be releasing to make room for that?
the feeling of seeming pushy.
Right. Good. Mary, what about you? Think back to one of these recent experiences that you've had, if they're relevant. And what would you have to let go of so that you could be heart-connected, there for them, however, still knowing what you want to bring forth, what would you have to release?
This feeling that I have to twist myself into a pretzel to give them what they say they want.
Yeah, good, good. So both of you see how to use number three?
Yes.
Yes.
It's like I have in the asterisk there, maybe you want to release an attachment to getting a yes. Release the neediness, the attachment of making the sale. Release whatever thought or anxiety takes you off your game. What you're wanting to do is to release your resistance and to instead focus on being connected to them from the heart, which only means that you are there to be of service. It does not mean making yourself a pretzel, because number two has already set the stage for what you want to bring forth.
Yes.
So you're bringing forth section two, and you're adding the heartfelt part. So your attention is still on them after you've established who you're going to be in this conversation. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then number four, why do your products and services rock? That's the way Gina puts it, so I'm going to use her wording. Why are you and your services hot? So really and truly, that's an exercise for you to journal on about, you know, listing your various products and services. And what is it about you and how you are a service provider that's, you know, really trustworthy and respect, you know, eliciting respect, and where you are different from those in the industry, perhaps, different from those in the room, perhaps. So it's really a matter of honestly taking stock of what you have to offer once again, so that you are clear about what it is you do and why it's good stuff, and why you are such a wonderful provider of these services, facilitator of these services. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
So let's hear from each of you one reason. Why do your products and services rock, Barb?
Because I bring fun to a very dull subject.
Yeah. And now, why are you and your services hot?
Because I bring very dull subject.
Because what?
Because I can bring fun to a dull subject.
Okay, good. What about you, Mary? Why do your products and services rock?
Because I help my people find their story and have recognized that their story matters.
Okay, and why are you and your services so hot?
Because I know where they've been. I know what the struggle is and the vulnerability about sharing your story. And I'm have compassion for what they're going through, and I'm also there to inspire them to show up for themselves.
So why does that make you hot?
Because I won't give up on them.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, then the last one. Now, what this one is, for you to get very unrealistic, just absolutely go for the biggest vision of what it is you want. You are expanding your imagination. You are expanding what you think is realistically possible. You are expanding your vision of what your life can be. And this is important because it loosens the limitations and the limiting beliefs that are most likely running through us. And so it shakes it up. So what is the best possible outcome that I can get from this conversation? And one of the exercise examples that Gina had given that I recall when she was teaching that particular question was, you know, that she was on a summit and that, or she made an offer on a webinar or something like that, and her highest outcome was that she was going to get 5 new clients at $30,000 per person, and they were going to pay her in full. And they gave her the credit card right then and there, and the card went through. You know, something like that. You know, something that's really a big deal that could possibly come out of a conversation, right?
Right.
So you want to stretch to the absurd, some part of you might think. And that's what that number 5 is for, is for you to give yourself the juiciest vision of what's possible and not be attached to any results, of course. Just go for it. Make sense?
Yes.
Now, the reason that this is raising your vibration is because if you go through this kind of process with yourself, either writing it down or thinking it through, like before a presentation where you're sitting in your car and you're getting yourself centered, this is going to raise your vibration. This is going to make you grounded in your confidence about you knowing your craft as well as you knowing your worth. And so I wanted to include this in here because you're all working on, I am too, on getting out there and doing enrollment conversations and presentations of various forms, and you got to keep your vibration up. And these are questions that will get you there. How do you like these questions?
They're fabulous.
Yes, they're great. They're great.
Yeah. I predominantly got that formula from Gina Gabellini. She really put together a good sequence, and I've taught pieces of this. In fact, I included on that page the past membership training calls that include pieces of this. One is an April 22nd, 2015 call. It's in your membership archive library. And the other is the September 17th, 2014. So you might want to go back to those and just, you know, remind yourself of the other layers of this kind of topic. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Now, I included page number 5 on sales conversions because as business owners, you know, the bottom line is the thing that we have to go for when we have to be responsible for what profits we're bringing in. And so your conversion rate helps you to know where you stand with how many people you've talked to and how much you've sold, so you know what you have to improve, and you also know that you have to speak to a lot more people in order to get your conversion rate up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then the last paragraph in there is then you determine how many people you need to speak with to reach your goal. That'll come after you've done enough conversations where you have some kind of sense of your conversion rate. And as to how many people you need to speak with, there are steps to that formula that are missing and that I may teach at a future time, but I included that last paragraph because I wanted you to start thinking very objectively, not subjectively, very objectively, well, you know, if I have this conversion rate and I want to bring in $10,000 this month, how many people do I have to talk to in order to get close to that goal or to meet that goal? It's very business number crunching thinking, right?
Right.
So that's why I included that in there.
Uh-huh.
So, ladies, that was the new content for today. And we have celebrated the fact that you are both in motion towards your goal and you are not giving up and you got where you got. So that's it for me. How would you like to wrap up this call, this course? Let's create it together.
Woohoo!
Yes, absolutely.
I want to hoop and holler.
Yeah. So let's just go around the room and just say whatever you want to say to feel complete and to feel proud of yourself, just whatever comes.
Once again, you would not give up, so I did not give up. And here we are, more lessons learned, and I know there's more to be revealed, but I have another layer of foundation to stand upon and go forward.
Yeah. Anything you want to say to me?
Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
You're welcome. Anything you want to say to Barb?
I'm so glad Barb was along for the journey, and we're kindred spirits, and she's tenacious as well.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Okay, Barb, whatever you want to say in terms so that you feel complete with having gone through this 12-session journey, anything you want to say to me, anything you want to say to Mary?
I've been close to giving up on a number of occasions, even as recently as last week, and your faith in me, your encouragement, your being able to find momentum when I couldn't, is very special, and I'm very thankful. And I have learned so much from Mary and with Mary, the wonderful intuition that you have, Mary, inspires me. I've been a head person for many, 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 many years, and this course has given me the opportunity to find another side of me. And thank you.
You're so
beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies. I think that's it, huh?
I think that's a wrap.
I think that's
right. So I'm going to turn off the recording, and then I'm going to take another 5 minutes. I had an idea. We'll talk about it later in more depth, but I wanted to throw it out now. Hang on 1 second.